are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely in a spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 180, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 3. Today we read number 9, Jesus and Bethania and Jerusalem, Cure of a Man Sick for 38 Years. We will read a portion of today's section. 9. From Bethzur, Jesus proceeded with Lazarus and the disciples to Bethania. They stopped at several places along their route, among them at Emmaus. Jesus taught here and there on the way among the people who were busy tying up the hedges, which were already green. Martha, Magdalene, and a widow named Salome came to meet them at almost an hour's distance from Bethania. Salome had long dwelt in Bethania with Martha. Through one of Joseph's brothers, and like Susanna, she was related to the Holy Family. She was later on present at Jesus' sepulture. There, Martha, Magdalene, and Salome had been at Lazarus' inn at the desert, whence they returned at dusk to Bethania. The four apostles and several disciples whom Jesus had sent to Thabor arrived also on this evening at Bethania. Great was their grief upon hearing now for the first time the details of John's death. Then they related what had happened to themselves. They had taught and cured according to the instructions received from Jesus, and at one place they had been chased with stones, but without being hit by them. The last place they visited was Seron, near Lydda. When all in Lazarus' house had retired to rest, Jesus went in the darkness to the Mount of Olives and prayed in a solitary nook. The mount was covered with verdure and groves of noble trees. It was full of retired corners. Magdalene occupied the little apartments of Mary, the silence dwelling. She often sat in a very narrow little room that appeared to be formed in a tower. It was a retired corner intended for penitential exercises. She still wept freely. True, she was no longer actually sick, but from contrition and penance, she had become quite pale and reduced. She looked like one crushed by sorrow. The last 2 days were days of fasting. They were followed by a feast of joy, which began at the close of the Sabbath and lasted for 3 days. The real date had fallen earlier, but for some reason the feast had been postponed. It was a feast of thanksgiving for all graces received from the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage down to their own time. Its celebration was not confined to Jerusalem, but was observed everywhere. Numbers of the chief priests and the greatest enemies of Jesus had left Jerusalem. Since Pilate had absented himself, they had nothing to fear and a less strict guard to keep. Next morning, Jesus went to Jerusalem and accepted hospitality with Johanna Chuza. Neither Martha nor Magdalene was there. Toward 10 o'clock, I saw Jesus in the temple. He occupied the teacher's chair in the women's porch, where he was reading and expounding the law. All were amazed at his wisdom. No one raised the least disturbance or made objections to his teaching. Some of the priests present may not have known him, and those that did were not against him. His bitter enemies, the Pharisees and Sadducees, were for the most part absent. About 3 o'clock, Jesus went with some of the disciples to the pool of Bethsaida. He entered from without by a door which was closed and no longer used. This was the corner into which the poorest and most abandoned creatures were pushed. And lying in the farthest part and right next to the door was a man paralyzed for 38 years. He had been pressed back by the crowd to the farthest extremity of the place and now lay in a little chamber destined for men. When Jesus knocked at the closed door, it opened of itself, passing along through the sick. He made his way to the hall nearest the pool where invalids of all kinds were sitting and lying, and there he taught. The disciples, meanwhile, distributed among the poor clothes and bread, covers and kerchiefs given them by the women for that purpose. Such attention and loving services were something quite new to these poor sick, who were, for the most part, either abandoned to themselves or left to the care of servants. They were greatly touched. Jesus went about them, pausing in several different places to instruct them, and then asking whether they believed that God was able to help them, whether they wished to be cured, whether they were sorry for their sins, whether they would do penance and be baptized. When he named to some of them their sins, that trembled and cried out, "Master, thou art a prophet, thou art certainly John." John's death was not yet generally known, and in many places the report of his being set at liberty was current. Jesus replied in general terms as to who he really was, and cured several of them. He directed the blind to bathe their eyes in water from the pool with which he had previously mixed a little oil. Then he told them to go quietly home and not say much about their cure until after the Sabbath. The disciples were at the same time curing in the other porches. All the cured were obliged to wash in the pool. But when, on account of these cures, some excitement was beginning to arise, while now one, now another approached the pool to wash, Jesus went with John to that far-off place near the entrance where lay the poor man who had been sick for 38 long years. He had been a gardener and had formerly been engaged in the care of hedges and the raising of balsam trees. But now, so long sick and helpless, he was reduced to a state of starvation and lay like a public beggar, glad to eat the scraps left by the other sick. As he had been seen here for so many years, he was known to everyone as the incurable paralytic. Jesus spoke to him and asked him whether or not he wanted to be cured. But he, not thinking that Jesus would cure him, but that he was only asking in a general way why he was lying there, answered that he had no help, no servant or friend to assist him down into the pool when the waters were moved. While he was creeping down, others got before him and occupied the places around the pool to which the steps led. Jesus spoke for a little while to the man, placed his sins before his eyes, excited his heart to sorrow, and told him that he should no longer live in impurity and no longer blaspheme against the temple. For it was in punishment of such sins that his sickness had come upon him. Then he consoled him by telling him that God receives all and assists all that turn again to him with contrition. The poor man, who never before had received a word of consolation, who had been allowed to lie molding and rotting in his misery, who had often bitterly complained that no one offered him any assistance, was now deeply touched at Jesus' words. At last, Jesus said, "Arise, take up thy bed, and walk." But these were only the principal words of all that he said. He commanded him to go down to the pool and wash, and then told one of the disciples who at that moment approached to take the man to one of the little dwellings erected for the poor by Jesus' friends near the cenacle on Mount Zion. Joseph of Arimathea had his stone-cutting shops in them. He, who had been so long paralyzed and whose face was disfigured by skin disease, gathered together his tattered couch and went off, cured, to wash in the pool. He was so out of himself with joy and in such a hurry that he almost forgot to take away his bed. The Sabbath had now begun, and Jesus passed out unnoticed, with John by the door near the place in which the poor man had lain. The disciple, who was to announce the sick man, went on ahead, for the latter knew where he was to go. When, therefore, he issued from the buildings around the pool at Bethsaida, he was met by some Jews who saw that he had been cured. Thinking that he owed the favor to the waters of the pool, they said to him, "Knowest thou not that it is the Sabbath day?" He answered, "He that cured me said to me, 'Arise, take up thy bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is he that said to thee, 'Take up thy bed and walk'?" But the poor man could not say, for he did not know Jesus, and had never before seen him. Jesus had already left the place, and his disciples also. What the gospel relates in connection with this miracle, that this man saw Jesus in the temple and pointed him out as the one that had cured him, and that Jesus had in consequence a dispute with the Pharisees on the subject of healing on the Sabbath day, took place upon a subsequent feast, but was recorded by John immediately after his account of the cure. I received positive information on this point. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have listened to, what we have just read. Well, as we got to the latter portion of today's reading, it was something quite familiar to us from John's Gospel, a story of the healing at the Pool of Bethsaida that we are all quite familiar with, aren't we? We hear this gospel, we've heard it and used it in our own reflection, we've prayed with it, and perhaps worthy of revisiting, which would be John chapter 5:15-ish. At the beginning of our reading today, we saw the apostles, they were coming back, and one of the things we heard is that they were chased with stones, but without being hit by any of them. So already in their early ministry, while Jesus is still alive, they are experiencing the opposition that Jesus brings. And so they can understand, you know, why John the Baptist, as they learn of his martyrdom, if they're being chased with stones, well, they understand why John was martyred. You know, Jesus will tell them about what is to come through the transfiguration. And so they are going to understand why all these things have to take place. There's this beautiful feast day that was being celebrated, it says. It was a feast of thanksgiving for all graces received from the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage down to their own time. A feast of thanksgiving for all graces. If we think about it, we have the grace of the incarnation. We have the grace of redemption. We have the grace of everlasting life celebrated on some of our major feast days, Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, respectively, in the order that I just spoke. You know, in the church, there was this feast of Mary, Mediatrix of all grace. It was originally observed on May 31st. And then the Belgians, they promoted this feast of Our Lady, Mediatrix of all grace. So with this, if we're celebrating all the graces received from the deliverance of the Israelites from Egyptian bondage down to their own time, maybe the feast of Our Lady, Mediatrix of Grace was a parallel, you know, that we would celebrate Our Lady and what she obtains for us, and that's really a feast of thanksgiving for the grace of her intercession and the grace that God gives to the world through the hands of Our Lady. How we need one of these feasts and thanksgiving for all the graces that we receive from God. In this healing of the man at the pool, the first thing to draw our attention to, Jesus spoke to him and asked him whether or not he wanted to be cured. He didn't think that Jesus was going to cure him, but Jesus asks, "Do you want to be cured?" If the Lord of the universe, if the Savior of the world is asking you this, what do you think your answer should be? Why, yes, Lord, I believe I can be cured. I've heard that you've cured others. Can you cure me? Should have been maybe his response. And then Jesus spoke for a little while to the man, placed his sins before his eyes, excited his heart to sorrow, and told him that he should no longer live in impurity and no longer blaspheme against the temple. Well, that's kind of an illumination of conscience, isn't it? This man, Jesus, is confronting him with his sin and he's being called to repentance. This is going to happen to all of us. At some point in our life, we are going to be confronted with our sin and we're going to be moved to true sorrow, just as this man was. Then he consoled him by telling him that God receives all and assists all that turn again to him with contrition. Despite our sinfulness, we can turn to the Lord with contrition in our heart. We can receive his grace. This healing, the beginning, powerful, isn't it? We see how what is happening in this man's life will be one day experienced by all of us. Let us turn to the Lord with contrition. Let us turn to the Lord and ask him to heal us. Let us ask him to excite our hearts with sorrow. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Also, please share the podcast with others. Email it to your friends, text a link, invite them to begin listening so that you can have holy conversations with your family and friends about the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.